So let's pray. Father, we will not hear these words apart from you opening our ears. So help us. Come to our aid. Show us your favor. Move our hearts. Bless us. Bless us this morning through the study of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, when I utter the word authority, do you embrace it? Is authority a good or a bad word? Is it an external thing held up and imposed by from someone from the outside, or is it an internal thing, something you feel? Carl Truman, in his excellent book, Strange New World, explores 200 years of history's so-called greatest thinkers to see how we arrived at our age, where a man's inner life has become the source of all truth. This is what Truman writes. The modern self finds himself in the midst of what has been called expressive individualism, where each of us seeks to give expression to our individual inner lives rather than seeing ourselves as embedded in communities and bound by natural and supernatural laws. Authenticity to inner feelings rather than adherence to transcendent truths becomes the norm, he said. So he argues throughout the book that decisive authority is now our inner feelings. So it goes so far as to determine one's gender. Do I feel like a man, a woman, neither, both? It's all about feelings. Inward psychological conviction is the non-negotiable reality to which all external realities must be made to confirm. Does that make sense? If this is true, your elders inviting a guest preacher to speak on Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother, is at best outdated. If that idea wasn't shot through before, it was certainly DOA by the 1960s, right? That generation drove Volkswagen Beetles with the bumper sticker, question authority. Some of you remember that, some of you older guys. They boycotted the Vietnam draft. They abandoned the church. They bagged the institution of marriage for free love. I remember. I'm a baby boomer. And by God's grace, I'm here as a redeemed boomer to tell you that the opposite of what the world is telling you now, do not look to the world for an operational definition of authority. So the Ten Commandments were passed down to the people of Israel so that they might become the very image of God on earth as God's representatives. So this morning we're going to turn to the second table of the law. The first table, consisting of those first four commandments, were all vertical obligations aimed at our relationship with God. That second table, consisting of the remaining six commandments, they're all horizontal obligations. Our obligations to earthly relationships. So this sermon should be profitable for everyone who has ears to hear, not merely for children. Now, sometimes those who fill pulpits use unnecessarily large words, so I'm going to stop and help kids and students along the way. So kids, students, here's your first help. Everything I've said so far is asking this. Should I obey my feelings inside of me or something or someone outside of me? So, am I to obey inside or someone or something outside? So here's your verse, Exodus 20:12. It's pretty simple. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Let me say it again. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Now, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, obey your father and mother. What does it say? Honor. Obedience is how honor looks for a season while you're young under your parents' roof. But honor outlasts obedience. I'll show you over the course of the sermon how this is going to work. In short, obedience has a shelf life. Honor doesn't. All right, so my goal in the next few minutes is then to answer the who, the what, the who, the when, and the why of this commandment. And that's your outline if you're taking notes. the what, the who, the when, and the why. And for you younger ones, when you hear me yell why, we're getting close to the end of the sermon, okay? All right, the what. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? The word honor comes from the Hebrew word kavod, K-A-V-E-D. It literally means heavy or weighty. It's the word the Old Testament uses for the glory of God, for the weightiness of his divine majesty. So, to honor one's parents, then, is to give due weight. To give due weight to their position. To give them the recognition they deserve for their God-given authority. So, kids, students, to honor your parents is to respect, to value, to prize your father and mother as gifts from God. The opposite to dishonor or disrespect is to treat them lightly. Just don't really consider them much. So if let me try to nail down the importance of grasping this definition and its application to us. If that first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, is the foundation of the first four commandments, then you could argue that the fifth commandment is the foundation of the commandments that follow. So why? Well, Jesus himself summarized these commandments in Matthew 22. You know these verses? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So question, where do you first learn to love your neighbor? Anybody? In the home, with the family. That's the first and primary incubator from which all neighbor love flows. It shapes all relationships. So left to ourselves, without any training or godly examples, we'd be a mess. Psalm 51, David confesses, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me." And Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and unless trained, that folly is going to remain. So when you come across a kind, considerate, and self-controlled little boy, do you think he got that from the Disney Channel? How about a young girl with respectful, other-centered, and quick-to-obey kind of spirit about her? Did she pick that up by scrolling TikTok? No. Behind these kids are parents who have trained them, who have modeled for them. It's true, good parents can have kids that go off script, and less than admirable parents miraculously have some lovely children. But generally speaking, that's not how the world works, generally. From the beginning, God set it up for parents to be good authority in their children's lives and for children to obey and profit from that authority. So allow me to speak broadly here. Two stages to a child's life. 0 to 5, train them to be under authority. And then 6 to 12, helping them to grow in God's character, in his likeness. If you fail to teach the child to be under authority, then all bets are off on trying to teach them character lessons, I fear, when they're older. And brace yourself for what happens when that child steps outside of your home. Way back when, Augustine said, "If anyone fails to obey his parents, is there anyone he will spare?" The home, the family, is where we first learn to live with other people. We are introduced to the very idea of authority and respect and honor. Our family is our first hospital, our first school, our first government, our first church. Yes, there's a lot going on in your home right now. Do you see? It's where we are nurtured and instructed and governed, and where we learn to rightly worship. So I wonder if you children and you parents are tempted to underestimate the importance of this command. In God's estimation, it seemed important enough to be included in the Ten Commandments. That should alone tell you something, right? There aren't 150 commandments. There's 10. And this is one of them. But that's not the only thing that was said. The Old Testament has a way of dealing with offspring who treated parents dishonorably. And I know this is hard to hear for our modern ears, but it doesn't demonstrate the importance of what this commandment is saying. Now listen to these things. It's hard, but listen. Leviticus 20:9, "For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put on time out." No. "Shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him." Deuteronomy 21:18-21. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders at the city gate, and they shall say to the elders, 'This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." These are hard words to hear, but I'm begging you to hear them. They made it into the written word of God for a reason. Praise the Lord, we're in New Testament times and under a new covenant. Amen. I share these verses to show you the seriousness of this commandment. This, in Old Testament times in Israel, was literally life and death. But even in the New Testament, there's still this idea is very much alive. Paul, 2 Timothy 3, says there are days coming, the last days, and we know of the last days, there will be tumultuous days where things get very, very difficult. Listen to this list, Paul writes. "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." I trust you didn't miss it. Disobedient to their parents is listed among the signs of the last days. That's New Testament, folks. Simply put, a child must be taught and come to recognize that a father and mother have been placed over them by God himself and therefore owes reverence, obedience, and gratefulness. Therefore, it makes no difference whether the parent is always deserving or worthy of honor, for it is God who put them there. It doesn't say honor only the good fathers and good mothers. It doesn't say be grateful only when you get from your parents what you want. The title of father and mother is deemed weighty in the eyes of God. It is an office of great significance, and whether the world sees it is of no matter. So kids, students, in God's loving providence, your parents gave you life. He assigned you to those parents that you're sitting beside. That fact alone is sufficient for you to know that you're called to honor them. Okay, that was the what. Now the who. Who is this commandment aimed at? The answer is?
Everyone.
Good. Children, mostly. But everyone is a good answer. I'm going to speak of three seasons in a child's life. While you're at home, after you leave and your parents are older, when your parents have passed away. Okay? While you're at home. God has placed your father and your mother in your life especially for you. You should assume they know more and better about what's good for you. If you feel this is hard, remember, I see a lot of parents smiling. I can't help but catch your smiling and you're looking at your kids. Keep focusing here, okay? Here we go. If you feel like this is hard, remember even Jesus, God the Son, the one who never sinned and holds all things, a At the touch of his fingers, he did what? He submitted to his parents. Imagine that. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. Now, as you get older, as you grow, so should your relationship with your parents. As you give evidence of maturity and strong character, and note, I just said, as you give evidence of maturity and strong character, you should also have more responsibility and independence. They should go hand in hand. But that doesn't change the command to honor your father and your mother. So, teenagers, let me address you for a second. It seems a rite of passage in our culture that you are expected to rebel, to push back against your parents. And sometimes you feel it, don't you? Gee, that my parents sometimes are too strict. They sure do have a lot of rules. My friends don't have this stuff. Nonetheless, this commandment is for you. Do you honor your parents with your speech? At school, when the other kids are bad-mouthing their parents, are you jumping in with them? In other words, do you treat your parents lightly? Before God, that is a mistake. Dare I say, that is a sin. If you really want to be a rebel, why don't you rebel against the idea of rebelling? Rebel against this idea of dismissing and treating lightly your parents and honor them. And teenagers, it's only for a period of time. I know it feels like it's never going to end, but it will end. Ask your parents. Parents, right after Paul tells the children in Ephesians 6 to give honor, what's he say? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We dads, we tend to fall off one side of the horse or the other. We're either too strict and harsh or too passive. Instead, you know these verses, Deuteronomy 6? Do this, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. I think that's all the time. Sit, walk, lie down, and rise. That's your charge. Dad, Mom, don't provoke, but teach. Give godly instruction. Show your children the way of the Lord. Sadly, some parents are outright abusive and provoke their children to anger. They bring on the rebellion. Some are more subtle. We parents can replace God's word with our word. We can blur the line between God's principles and our preferences. We can try to exercise authority a little too long. I want to give you a real tangible way to remember this idea. Exercising authority far too long, because I think it's a big problem in our current culture. Where's Daniel? Come here, Daniel. Let's all welcome Daniel to the platform here. Like, come on, Daniel. I need a model here. Okay, Daniel, for the next 2 minutes, you're going to be my son, okay? You agree?
Yes.
You're my son. Tell him your name.
Daniel.
What's your whole name?
Daniel Bonner. No, Daniel Schmucker.
Thank you. okay, Daniel. Let's pretend you're just 2 years. How old's your middle child?
3.5.
Okay, 3.5. Let's pretend you're 3.5. Exercising authority for Daniel. Come over here, Daniel, because I got to stay near the microphone.
All right.
Exercising authority. Let's say I'm his dad. I'm exercising authority. Now remember, now in our present culture, authority is a bad thing, right? That's what we hear. Authority is bad. But authority isn't bad. Bad authority is bad. But good authority is from God. God is good authority, and he gives the exercise, that call for us as parents to exercise good authority in our children's lives. So if Daniel's 3.5 years old, it is right for me to exercise authority in his life. In that sense, I'm giving you a physical representation. It's right for me to stand in front of Daniel and lead him. Right? It's right for him, Daniel. Sorry, how are you doing back there? Okay. It's right for Daniel to be behind me and follow me. Daniel doesn't know anything. He needs to follow, right? As I exercise good authority. Now, what becomes the problem is, what if I stay in this position? And I just never move from this position. I'm expecting Daniel, even as he grows, to keep following me. That's a mistake. Actually, as a parent, I want to step beside Daniel as he gets older, as he hits his middle school, high school, college years, certainly after that. I should be beside Daniel more as a coach, as a friend, as an encourager, as a fellow traveler and journeyman. I need to tell Daniel of my own struggle with sin and be more transparent and encourage him as the way the Lord has encouraged me. I need to be shoulder to shoulder with Daniel. And then certainly when Daniel's now married and he has three kids, where should I be? Here? No, this is where his wife belongs, right? I actually need to be behind Daniel now. I'm not his authority any longer. He still has to honor me, but he doesn't have to obey me. I should just be back here cheering him on, giving counsel when I can give counsel. And honestly, folks, the best counsel I've ever given is the counsel that's been asked for. Not the counsel that I'm just blurting out, like, Daniel, what about this? And Daniel, what about that? And how about this, Daniel? And how about this, Daniel? Like, surely you want to do this, right, Daniel? Like, no, you've done your time with Daniel. You have molded and poured into him as much as you possibly can and formed his conscience. Now he's with the Lord. You know, you get the idea, right? Okay, thanks, Daniel. Good job. Okay, let's talk about now Daniel's out of the house. After you leave home, kids, and your parents are older, notice there's no age limit on this honoring thing. How sure am I? Matthew 15, Jesus is talking to no less than the scribes and Pharisees. These are the religious leaders of the day. I mean, these are the go-to religious guys, okay? And Jesus asks them this: why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and mother. Whoever reviles his father and mother must surely die. This is Jesus talking. These Pharisees and scribes were not taking care of their needy elderly parents, saying they've already devoted all to temple, all to the glory of God. They've designated their giving, though they hold on to it. They've designated and they cannot spare it anymore. And their parents are suffering as a result. And Jesus is condemning them, saying, you've ignored God's laws for man. He's talking to adult religious leaders, Jesus is. So there's some obligation that these adults still have for their parents. The fact that your parents may live, and I'm talking to you adults here, the fact that your parents may live in another state, or maybe even have enough money to purchase care, doesn't mean they don't have needs and you don't have responsibilities. It's insufficient, it's sin to pack mom up and leave her alone in the old folks' home. I just want to say on a side note here, honoring parents in old age, I think, is going to get even become more contested than ever through a growing trend around the world in medically assisted suicide. My wife and I were floored when visiting Canada last month to hear the implications of a law passed in 2016 known as Medical Assistance in Dying, or MAID, M-A-I-D. Initially conceived for the terminally ill, now many warned of a slippery slope. And as predicted, in 2021, the law expanded eligibility to people with grievous or impossible to cure conditions, even if their death isn't foreseeable, meaning the chronically ill or disabled, not just the terminally ill, can now have assisted suicide medically. I'm sorry, but participating in a parent's death, even if it's legal in your country, doesn't quite meet the definition of honor here. It's not in the U.S. yet, but wait. It tends to go Europe, Canada, and then South. The nation that honors its elders will persist. I cannot imagine that the society that discards them will. That was a side note. When your parents have passed away, do you still have to honor them? Yes, our posture should be one of honor in how we think and speak of them, even after they've passed. And you'll be able to do that to your spouse one day, to your children one day, to your grandchildren one day. All this to say, it doesn't mean you don't recognize your parents' failings. Kids, your parents are sinners. God's design, this is how he built it, but they are sinners. You recognize their families. And it doesn't mean you aren't honest and open about some of you experiencing real pains and hurts that might be there. And it doesn't mean you don't laugh with them about their foibles. Be kind to those who just reluctantly came into this digital age. It's hard. But work to look up, not down, at your parents. Don't mock and don't despise. Okay, that's the what and the who. Now the when. Are there limits to honoring your father and mother? I think there's at least two scenarios in which it is going to be very difficult to honor your parents. The first scenario is when your parents put pressure on you not to live for Jesus. Even parents who know and love the Lord have been known to dissuade their children from following the Lord. Take one example, serving overseas in missions. There are countless number of parents who push back against their kids. Like, I'll never see my kids or grandkids again if you go overseas. And then there's the unconverted parents who by nature, to use a term, are blind. They do not understand the way of the cross, often the way of sacrifice. Their values are upside down from yours and they just don't get it. What did Jesus say? Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10. We do have a higher loyalty, a higher allegiance than even our parents. We've already mentioned Good Churches International and the support of the work going on in North India. One of the leaders there was raised by Christian parents, very solid, lovely Christian parents. I've met them. I know them. But he was shunned by his family. Why? Because he would not submit to his father's request to physically be near their family and be under the father's authority. Mind you, this man, the son, was 40 years old. But when Jesus said, go into the world and proclaim the gospel, our friend took that seriously, even at the risk of losing the esteem of his family. The second scenario is when you have parents who have lived dishonorably. The Bible does instruct us to honor our parents, but it does not command us to stay in harm's way. And in a room this size, it is no stretch of the imagination that some of you have come home from homes that are less than ideal. When I was a kid, there were primetime shows named Leave It to Beaver, and as strange as this sounds, Father Knows Best. Have you ever heard of that one? I don't think that would make primetime today. These TV dads had an amazing gift to solve every kid's problems in 30 minutes of airtime. Every time they got it right. But we don't live in the 60s and we don't live in that idealized kind of world. I've known a young woman for over 15 years who was given up for adoption at age 8 because her father was serving a long deserved jail sentence and her mother died having subjected her body to unmentionable things. As a young girl, she saw things no child should ever see. How is this young woman to honor her parents? Some of you have been verbally, mentally abused, and some still have tender scars from physical abuse. If no one has ever said this to you, please hear me say this. I'm so sorry. What you suffered goes against all of nature and of God's will. And God will judge it one day. I understand the instinctive, natural reaction of saying, they don't deserve to be honored. And as hard as it is, Scripture calls us to give respect to all governing authorities, Romans 13, not just the good ones. And Christian slaves, modern workers, are to be subject to their masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust, 1 Peter 2. And you and I are to honor our parents even when they are undeserving. We know from the book of Samuel that King Saul wouldn't have won any Father of the Year awards. He ordered his soldiers, including his son Jonathan, to kill the future King David, an innocent man and the dearest of friends to Jonathan. This put Jonathan in a really bad position. He's supposed to honor his father, who's also the king, all the while knowing murder is against God's law. So Jonathan, he did the right thing. He warns David, and then he intercedes with his father to swear off this sin, to preserve his father's honor. And the last we see of him is at his father's side, where he died, fighting to protect his father from the Philistines. So how can you honor a dishonorable parent? If you can do nothing else, take the advice of Proverbs 11:12. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. If that's all you can do, remain silent. But here's another idea. You live an honorable life. An honorable life reflects, by association, honor, including honor parents who have not lived honorably. But friends, the only way any of this is possible is through Christ's strength. We, in our strength, are too weak and too sinful to live up to this or any of God's commands. The only hope we have is by dying to ourselves and being born again in Christ. What's that mean? Repenting and renouncing our own sin. Not blaming mom and dad. Own our own sin. Turning to Jesus, who bore our sin on that deadly cross as our substitute, receiving the punishment that we deserved. He grants new life and things like living water to all who believe, and the strength to live out commandments like honor your father and mother. Apart from that, that's going to be a tough road. In Christ, you can do it. All right, kids, last one. Why? We made it. Why? Why is it being asked? Why should we honor our parents? Well, parents deserve it for their many sacrifices. You will one day grow up and recognize it. My wife and I are now in the phase. Our five kids, our oldest is 37, about 37, because we've been married 38 years, so it better be 37. We are now hearing a lot of thanks, mom and dad, for what you must have done. They don't remember it, of course, but they are now doing it for their children. You honor your parents because they have made enormous sacrifices, whether you recognize it or not. Here's another one. They have a wealth of knowledge. Kids, you may not think that right now, but they probably know a lot more than you realize. I love the Mark Twain quote. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Here's an important reason. God designed it this way. God made us in such a way as to live in families where parents have the role of teaching and guiding and disciplining. Our oldest daughter, Chelsea, and her husband spent a weekend away with another couple and their 2-year-old daughter a while back. This couple was deliberate in not wanting to instruct their daughter. They wanted to refine her decision-making skills and teach her to be independent. Did I say the child was 2? It was just options all the time. The conversations went like this. I wrote them down because I couldn't believe she was telling me this. Do you want eggs or oatmeal for breakfast? Do you want to play inside or outside? Do you want to walk or be in the stroller? Do you want to go to bed in 10 minutes or 20 minutes? Do you want to wear your red or blue pajamas? Yes, they packed 2 sets of pajamas for 1 overnight. My daughter said it became absurd. Who's making all the decisions in this family? Who's the authority here? It's the child. And that's upside down from where God instructs us. God has designed families to work where parents lead and children follow. Parents are God's ambassadors and agents and representatives to the family. Children happily live under the rule of their parents under the rule of their parents, it's the beginning of them learning to live under the rule of God. If the first doesn't happen, the second's going to be tougher. All right, here's a hidden reason, a kind of hidden reason. It's where trust begins. The very means God designed for us to learn how to trust in is via our parents. Parents, your precious newborn came into the world lawless, right? You know this. Without morals. Your child will learn everything from you. And it doesn't begin at school age. Moms, I have little doubt you can be dismissive of the seemingly repetitive and mind-numbing days of newborns and rearing preschoolers. But from day one, it all counts. How do I know this? David in Psalm 22 says, "You made me trust you at my mother's breast." What? You made me trust you at my mother's breast? How? David's saying before he could form words, he's declaring that he learned to trust. Babies are helpless. 100 out of 100 would die apart from intervention. In God's secret, incomprehensible power and wisdom, there is a transaction, a transfer from mother to baby as early as being placed on the breast. The baby's learning that this woman is someone to be trusted. And we know these little ones can learn to trust and love, and they know security. Why did I say all that? A father and mother who live honorably are absolutely essential in the child learning to trust and honor God the Father. Parents can make it easy or hard for your children to know what our Heavenly Father is like. Are you imaging Him and His character? Let's call this thing the honor system. In other words, parents live honorably and the children honor their parents. Or the absence of it, it will build or erode the sense of God's own fatherhood as something to be honored, revered, and held in sacred respect. Dishonorable parents and children who do not respect their parents will lose access to one of God's central ways of passing down the faith. All right, kids, students, back to you. Here's a great reason to honor your parents. There's a promise attached to this commandment. Did you notice? Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. God's not promising you a long life here. The phrase actually has to do with living an abundant life. God is saying, if you want to enjoy my full blessings in this life, you'll listen to your mom and dad. God could have ended the commandment with a threat, right? But he doesn't. He ends it with a promise. All right, so now some of you kids have been well taught and might be saying, these words were spoken in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, we are Christ's church, and under the New Covenant, excellent point. In God's wisdom, though, he had the Apostle Paul say it again in the New Testament. Not once, but twice, Ephesians 6, 1-2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Kids, keep listening to what I'm going to tell your parents now. Parents, what ultimately happens to these recipients of these Ten Commandments? Do you remember? What happened to their children and to their children's children? We read in Judges 2:10, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Did not know the Lord or the work he had done for Israel. The great deliverer and his spectacular deliverance wasn't even spoken of. How is this possible? What's said about generational wealth can be said about faith. The first generation earns it. In our case, the first generation believes it. The second generation assumes it. And the third generation loses it. Parents, you're instructed to teach your children about God, his offer of salvation through Christ, and his promises. So, set your mind and heart now to be that of the psalmist in Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in a parable, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Kids, students, you get the last word. Ready? Here's your homework this week. Think hard about how you can honor your mom and dad. Maybe it's saying something you're thankful for. Maybe it's saying, I'm sorry for something you did. After your parents ask you to do something, try, yes, mom, or okay, dad. Trust me, they will love it. So Exodus 20:12, it's not a suggestion, but a commandment with a wonderful promise. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the rising generation of young ones. We pray, oh God, that they would be salt and light in a dying and needy world, that they would be uncommon in their character as they reflect Christ, as they become ambassadors to the world. We pray that these homes represented in this church would fully own and understand and love your commandments. So bless these homes and show your favor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.